Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Jeff's rugby team will depart in 5 minutes from platform 15. Your ride comes with 6 toilets and a refreshments carriage that you'll empty within 5 minutes. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
Head to the beach in Abercrombie's latest summer drop. New 100% linen shirts are perfect for breezy days by the coast. They're easy to layer and go well with our new sea-fade shorts. For days spent on the water, pair the A&F Resort shirt with your favorite swim. Outfit your summer with Abercrombie in the app, online, and in stores.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Shouldn't be alive here on the Glass Cannon Network, the network where all of us good buddies get together and play all different kinds of role-playing games. And today we play Twilight 2000, episode 4 of We Shouldn't Be Alive. My name is Joe O'Brien. I'm here with Ross and Skid, of course, Mary Lou and Jared Logan. Very excited to be playing again with you guys as we enter into our last, according to Mary Lou, the last episode that we can still say this is a new show. So soak it up, kids.
Enjoy it.
Yep.
Soak it up.
Still this after it. This, no excuses.
Yeah. After we'll be held to a higher standard from this
right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Man, I'm very, very excited to get back into this with you guys. There is, tons of exciting stuff to explore. Tense and interesting episode last week, which we'll talk about in a second. But I want to remind everybody, there are tons of different shows on the Glass Cannon Network that you can always get at glasscannonnetwork.com. You can also subscribe to our subscription service at jointhenation.com. Most of you right now are already subscribed at the basic tier and listening to this show or watching this show, and it's because of you, and this is not bullshit, it's because of you that this show even happens. We did a survey a while back asking our subscription service what they want to see and hear more of, and really
they said
overwhelmingly,
Dungeons and Dragons 5th edition.
No, shockingly.
Surprisingly, no.
Shockingly, it was, we want to hear more Jared Logan talking about ammunition magazine sizes.
Yeah.
Something
very specific,
I know everything about.
That's something. Right. Real experts.
I know everything about. No, but truthfully, it was honestly what we want more than anything is to support you guys, you know, making these shows, and we want more actual play shows. And so this is what we're trying to do. We want to do more and different shows all the time to get you guys all the kind of different, I don't know, I don't want to say content because that's so bland and generic, all the different emotional stories that you can get from so many different angles, so many different ways. And emotional is really what comes to mind for me when I think about last week. I think that that was a really good example of how tough things are in this setting, in this world we're playing in right now. So if you are listening to this out of nowhere, which is totally possible, go back and listen to episode 1, because we're 4 episodes in here and a dramatic story is unfolding in our alternate history, Eastern Europe, during the year 2000, where, as Skid said in episode 1, the Cold War went hot and the Soviet Union never fell. Very interesting story we're going to get into here. So a brief recap comes, and then we dive right back into our characters inside of a shattered supermarket in a small town in eastern Poland when we come back. We'll be back in a second.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure and No Rolls Barred. Search Realms of Peril and Glory to find out more.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of the Nation by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger, and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
There are vampires out there. They're beside you in the darkness, but what people don't understand is that they're not monsters. They're just going to work, living their unlives. But we are a dying breed. Those who came before me, they are fearful and are not content to sit back and just disappear. And they'll do anything to fix that. From the creators of Parkdale Haunt comes Woodbine, a podcast about monsters, dreams, and changes. Those you want and those you never saw coming. Season 2 arrives September 24th, distributed by Realm.
Welcome back in. Jared, I'm sorry for the ammunition dig. I don't mean to imply that you're not a man. Like not a real man or anything.
I wasn't taking that from what you said at all until now.
That's what I heard when I said it. I guess, Skid and I's upbringing, that's kind of, if you didn't know everything about guns, you were not a man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Right, yeah. I don't know about guns. I don't know about sports. I know about listening to women. And...
Mary Lou's hand is over her heart for our audio listeners.
That's really beautiful.
Yeah. We're all just holding space for this moment.
That's right.
My favorite movie is Wicked for Good. And
that's right. Oh, that's great. That's good. Okay. Yeah. Part
and
two I, for those
and
who are
I let my
it.
Wife drive when we're riding together.
That is really progressive.
Wow. Extremely.
That's really, really, really progressive. Wow. I love that.
Okay.
What about you, Mary Lou?
On behalf of women, thank you.
Do you listen to women?
Only sometimes, actually. because as any good feminist knows, some of you bitches are very stupid, right? So I don't listen to all women, but most of them, I think. I don't listen to all men either. So
right. To respect humanity, to respect the vast pageant of humanity is to know that among its numbers and included in all of its genders are brilliant, wise, capable people, and also dullards and ding dongs.
For sure.
Put it how my dad always said it growing up: you never have to go far to find an asshole.
That's
right.
Simply put,
I think that's one of the central themes of this game, actually.
That's right.
I think it is. We're exploring that statement as an entire setting, I think.
Sometimes that's really easy to forget because I've done a really good job in my life of where the baseline of kind of person that I interact with is smart and kind and funny. Maybe not kind and funny, but smart. Every once in a while you have to interact with the wider population and I'm shocked to remember that
what's out there. Yeah.
Well,
there's
that's why
social
they make
media
you go
makes
to the
assholes
DMV.
Of us all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Every time I post something on social media, I look at it right after I've hit send and I go, what an asshole. Looking at my own post.
I can't believe
so
I just
So what I'm specifically thinking about is, it's funny you bring up social media. It's because I posted about this on Instagram the other day. You guys ever shop for stuff on Facebook Marketplace?
No.
So I do a lot because it's great. You can get like really good stuff for really good prices. And you will not believe the number of people who will post a piece of furniture or a piece of clothing on Facebook Marketplace and not include the size or the dimensions. And the description will be like, dresser, 6 drawers, wood. Okay. Thank you so much. Or like a pair of shoes. They'll be like, Doc Martens, boots. What size, idiot? What is wrong with you? It makes me crazy. It drives me absolutely insane. How like it's that theory of mind thing where you're like, well, I see what size it is. I see how big it is. You should know how big it is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I told you what it is. It's a brown couch. End of story.
How fucking what? When I'm shopping, I need to know how big it is.
Can I tell an idiot asshole story? So sure. Just the other day, I took my kids out sledding because it extensively snowed here on the East Coast. And early in the morning, I was like, hey, before I have to get to work, let's go sled for a little while and you can enjoy this. So I take them out, a bunch of kids there, everybody's sledding. And there are these kids, couple kids, that go down the hill and then they walk directly up the smooth sledding slope, not like the side where all the tracks are, where everybody walks up. And there's a line of like 6 kids at a time at this thing. And some of these kids are now the kids, you know, they're kids, you know, sometimes just like, but there's parents are at the top of the hill, like these kids' parents. And some of the parents, when their kids kind of do that, are like, move over to the side. Nobody can sled down while you're walking up there. And I'm just like, oh man, some of these parents. Then some full grown ass people came with snowboards, like adults, to sled down on their snowboards and hit these like little mounds that they made for jumps and stuff. And one of those dudes walked up the middle of the slope. Ugh. While everybody was in line.
What a fucking piece of shit.
I was astounded. Idiot asshole.
Did you fight him?
I'll kill you.
I didn't know what to say. I was stunned into silence. It's like, I think it's just the basic concept that you have to not think of anyone else existing
of
in the world.
Anybody else.
Yeah.
No one else sometimes. A lot of the times I'll type it out and then I'll copy it because I know I'll need to paste it 1,000 times. I'll go, hi, what are the dimensions? And some of them, one time this guy responded, I was like, what are the measurements? And he goes, I don't know.
Great. I'm gonna be like, contrarian here. I'm gonna be contrarian.
I said, can you measure it? And he went, but then I'd have to measure it. Yeah, buddy.
Okay. I guess not highly motivated to make that sale.
Wow. I'm going to be contrarian here, Jared, and say both Joe and Mary Lou's assholes are just people who made mistakes.
No!
I disagree.
If you see how frequently, it's like, I'm not joking, maybe 50%. 50% of postings, people just don't include the size of clothing even.
Yeah.
Shoes.
I mean, Jared, there's making a mistake, and then there's like aggressive ignorance, like like not thinking on purpose. That's just crazy to me.
Right.
Crazy to me. All right. Before
I never do anything wrong or inconvenience anyone. So
right. Yeah, that's why you're on this show, Ross. That's
right.
That's why we're friends. I am very excited to get back into this with you guys, though things are a little bit tense in the world of Twilight 2000. Last week, you guys explored this supermarket, scrounging it for supplies, and found civilians that were waiting in the basement, apparently from some info that you're gleaning from them, to be transferred up to an area in a town called Bilgoraj, I'm not exactly sure pronunciation, but to be transferred up there. And
it's Bugoraj.
How is it spelled? Well,
It's spelled Bill Garage.
Yes.
Okay, you know, if you know how to pronounce it, send a postcard.
Send a self-addressed stamped envelope to 123 Fake Street.
Send it to right up your own ass, because we don't care.
Send it to right up your own ass.
Yeah. Just roll it into a tight rod. And
I have the utmost respect for Poland and the Polish people. And I wish that I was completely fluent in the language, but I am not. I am saying a role in a tabletop role playing game.
Yeah.
We're trying.
Exactly.
Some of us are trying.
I do appreciate that, Skid. Thank you. So, should I think that, like, any time I see an AJ at the end, it's sort of like just an I sound?
Yes.
Okay.
There's no J. There's no, like, hard J, I don't think. It's a
yeah. In the language, it's a soft J.
Yeah.
Like yogging.
Yogging. Exactly.
Yogging.
Okay. Well, anyway, you gleaned some of this information. You found that the supermarket had no food in it, was largely picked over. There were some random supplies that were found, including a cartoon mask and a calculus textbook in Polish. I mean, this is how desperate supplies are getting. Your rations are running low. Jared's character, Hannah, gave some of her final rations to these civilians who were clearly hungry in the basement of this supermarket. And things are getting a little tense. But the very, very last thing that happened is that Zofia, our resident burglar, former criminal, who went straight and started and opened up a mechanic shop, or worked at a mechanic shop at least, was able to crack into a security encoded door in the offices above this supermarket. She opened up the door and her eyes widened. Well, let's...
What'd I get?
Okay.
Give me the presents.
So, congratulations on opening that up. You are an absolute badass. So, you walk in. I will say you definitely see a gun. Do you definitely see, like, leaning up against the wall? There's definitely some, like, military stuff in here.
So, this is, like, walk-inable. This is walk-in.
This is, like, a closet, like a secure closet. Yes, walk-inable.
Oh, my God, Joe, give me the dimensions.
Come on, we went over this.
And please use the Polish word for panic room.
Yes. How many meters deep are we talking?
How many meters deep?
Yep.
Exactly.
You got me.
Okay. I'll tell you the first thing that you see when you... I mean, there's a bunch of things that you see, but the first thing that, I guess I would say the first thing that our camera picks up, we'll say, as you step in here, is... sorry, technical difficulties. Oh my God, I'm so annoyed. Sometimes I try to do this music stuff myself while I'm running games, and it's so annoying. All right, we see over the shoulder of Zofia. You walk in, and it's very dim in here. There's some light coming in, obviously, from outside. From it is nighttime, but not fully dark yet. And you see several objects that are all kind of silhouetted in the back, all in shadow. But we see you pick up a piece of paper that's on the table. As you pick it up and start to spread it, we see a map of Poland. In fact, it's the exact map that we're looking at in Foundry VTT.
All right.
Only what you see on that map that you hadn't seen on this one that we showed before is some notes that Zofia may not understand right away, but there's some symbology and notes that seem to maybe indicate some positions of some Soviet forces.
Oh.
So if you look on our Foundry VTT map, you should now see there are marks of forces.
Oh, shit.
Forces that are in Krasnik, Lublin, Polawi. Not sure how to pronounce that, but three different locations somewhat near you, all within 50, oh no, I'm sorry, it's all within like 100 kilometers of you. Wow. That have Soviet forces. And there's details on these forces. And we'll cut back downstairs, back down to the civilians and the rest of our crew. What's your guys' intentions here at the moment with these people? This is a kind of a tricky situation here. They're hungry. You've given them some rations for the moment, but what are the next steps? Skid, looks like you have an idea.
I wanted to ask because I have a specific mission that I'm trying to accomplish.
Yes.
So
yeah,
in that I have a contact named called Carpenter that I'm looking for. By the way, a friend of the show, Andy Torbett, did end up sending me a full operational history of my character from like 1988.
Oh yeah,
on.
You did get it.
Oh yeah, so
I'd love to share that at some point because it's fucking Whoa. Badass.
Oh, maybe that's like a bonus content thing we could like we could chip away like at it.
Yeah. But so I was wondering if how I should be going about this. I'm wondering if I was going to say that like maybe there is a set of passphrases that I would expect to use with someone who knew this person. So I wonder if it would be appropriate, since I'm in the area that I'm supposed to be, this is the last place where I knew of this person to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if it'd be appropriate for me to try to use one of these passphrases with these people.
Okay, I will say if you do so, you don't get a response of, okay. You know, you get questioning glances. However, if you were to take so let's say you do that and you get like, we don't know what you're talking about.
By the way, my side of the passphrase is Twilight's coming earlier and earlier this year.
Mm-hmm. Twilight's coming earlier and earlier this year. Wow. Okay. And what's the answer?
What is the answer? I got to think of the answer. But
think of the answer. Okay. Yeah. So for the moment, you see that this doesn't...
Doesn't elicit a response.
Doesn't elicit a response. You get confused glances from the civilians. But let's remember, Hannah gave up a lot of food to these people, and they are extremely grateful for what you have done right now and very ready to be friendly and open up. Perhaps attack could be simply asking if there were other people with them. You know what I mean? If there were people, how long they've been here, right? How many other people have they seen here? That kind of more general, generic sort of thing.
Okay, so yeah, he goes to Hannah like as they're sitting eating and says like, would you be so good as to ask them if there have been any other people in the area recently that they've seen?
Yeah. Like Polish? English?
Anyone else? Any information would be welcome.
Have you all seen anyone else around here, around the supermarket?
The guy, Jan, speaks up. This guy, I don't know if I described him, but thick head of brown hair, thick beard, a little bit more, not as malnourished looking as some of the others. So he seems to have, you know, have been kind of well built, at least before the events of this might have weakened him a little bit. But he nods. The others kind of look at him right away, interestingly enough, and he nods and says in Polish, I've been here the longest. He looks around at all of them. 3 weeks. 3 weeks I've been here, but was not taken with the last group. There was a firefight, and they moved quickly. There was a lot of yelling, and they brought several other prisoners out, but I was left behind. There was no space for me. They said I would go in the next caravan, and Then these folks, they brought them in as well. But yes, there were others who came through. There was one military
Well, I think, I suspect, though he did not say it.
Hannah translates all this.
So, the Soviets took a group of people to another location.
Yes, they were taking us up to, for food and work. We could work for food up in Bilgorai if we agree to go
I hate to correct you, a Polish national in pronunciation, but I believe it's Bilgorai.
Bilgorai, yes.
Okay.
I was just doing some research. All those L's with the little dash through it,
yes,
are like a W sound.
Yes, exactly.
So Bilgorai.
A W is like a V, and that L slash thing is a bleh.
It's like a W. Like if you said yellow, it would be like if you pronounced yellow as yellow.
Yeah,
like those kind of L's, LW sound.
So what I was saying last week is Jaroslav would be more like Jaroslav.
It would be Yaroslav.
Oh my gosh, I'm so far off.
Yeah.
Do people that are like some that are Polish or speak Polish that are interested in this show might know the cities, and I'll say the city, and they have no idea what city I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know. Like I'm like, that far off. What fantasy kingdom is he describing?
Well, I bought Rosetta Stone for Polish, so I'm hoping to be fluent by next week.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, okay. Good.
Sounds good. Anyway. Sorry. So he says, to Bilgorai. Bilgorai.
Yeah.
Bilgorai.
They were taking us to Bilgorai, and but one seemed like not a worker but prisoner. They would not unbind his hands.
One seemed like a prisoner. They would not unbind his hands. Hmm.
Okay, and
he stands up. Sorry, all right. Tell me what you're thinking.
Well, he's like, okay, this is who I need to be going after. So it's just like I'm going to Bilgorai.
He stands up. He says, he fought them with, took two of their weapons, and another before put him on the ground before they eventually trap him and tie his hands. He says he was a builder, but I think he was Polish military.
He says he was a builder. He fought the Soviets. He took their weapons, but they eventually put him down. This man thinks that he was Polish military.
So, he took on the Soviets barehanded, took their weapons from them, and managed to survive. A man this gifted deserves to be rescued, don't you think?
I think all of these people deserve to be rescued.
Indeed. Please thank him.
He says thank you.
Then he just nods, sits back down, and starts eating again. I would love to get you guys together for the closet here as she's sort of exploring. So could we, Sophia, do you have any objections to alerting the group to the fact that you've unlocked the door?
No. I think she'd probably pad down the stairs and just call down softly, Hannah, it's open.
I bring everybody upstairs.
Okay, we bring the group upstairs, and here we can explore this closet of stuff. There's a lot of different things in here, but here's what I'm going to say right off the jump. You find this tactical map of Poland, one that's noting the routes and the roads and the landscape and all that kind of stuff. It's a Soviet-made map, and you are getting... And you are seeing some information here about positions of Soviet units or divisions even. These are large, you know, collections of Soviet troops. And we can go into detail on these whenever you guys are ready to ask, you know, kind of more about the intel. Other than that, there's a lot of other things in here. And here is where I'd like to bring in the group gear mechanic. So you guys are going to tell me some of the things that are in this closet based on what you want. So go to page 18 of your player's manual and you will see a list of items, objects that you can choose from. It is a relatively long list. There's a lot of great stuff in here, and it might be tough as players to come to a quick decision. So I'm not interested in rushing you. Talk it out. You get four things. It's kind of one per PC, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you each pick one object that you keep. It's more so you get an object for the number of PCs in the group. For each number, you know, I'm not saying this well, but you get objects equal to the number of PCs.
Got it. So if we chose backpack, it would be four backpacks, like one for each of us, not like one.
It's one backpack.
Got it.
You get four items from this list that are group gear. Some of it obviously may just be for one person, but some of it may not be. It might be a group sharing sort of thing. So
I want a dirt bike. There's a dirt bike on here.
I've
always wanted
the
dirt bike.
It says D6 dirt bikes?
I guess.
D6 dirt bikes.
I already know mine.
I would love to. Can I please remove the dirt bike? That just doesn't make sense. In the
story. No, we don't find a dirt bike.
Of course, you can rule that there's no dirt bike. But my question is, you know, would Hannah have any idea why a headquarters like this would be positioned in a supermarket?
It was my
idea why?
Yeah.
It was my assumption that maybe this was just like, maybe this the supermarket just like has one of these safes, maybe for money, maybe for, you know, other things.
This could also be, this was the floor above. This could be an unconnected business of some kind, or it doesn't have to be connected to the supermarket. It's like,
I assumed that the Soviets found it and were using it, not that it was like the supermarket's safe, unless I'm wrong.
Well, my mind is going to Carpenter, who Lime is trying to meet. You know, it feels like Carpenter might hole up in here and have a map out and things like that. But all right, enough said. Oh, look, I found rations. Food.
Do you guys want one of your objects to be D6 rations? That's one of the things on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems really smart.
Now the question is, who rolls the D6?
Who's got the best luck?
Oh, Ross just rolled 5 for med supplies last episode. Maybe he does it. He keeps that streak going.
But I rolled 2 on water earlier. But so yeah, do you want me to roll for the rations right now?
Yeah, roll for the rations.
All right, roll for the rations if people are okay with that.
No! Oh, this is why they were really so desperate.
See, that one didn't count because Jared asked for it, so Jared should have to roll for it. I don't think that one counted.
I'm sorry, Mary Lou, but even though I asked for it, I believe in the dice are telling the story.
Yeah.
And I think we should get one ration.
One ration. Right. I'm so sorry, everybody.
Brutal.
And I'm like,
fucking all right,
brutal.
Who's holding it?
But I mean,
like,
it does make sense.
One can of Pringles?
Mm-hmm. It's one can of ranch Pringles.
I will say, without playing it all out, that the civilians would corroborate that the Soviets were desperate and starving too. So it does kind of make sense that there's only one ration in there right now.
All right, who's going to put it on their sheet?
Well, having spent my rations, I would feel like that goes to
Hannah. Should have it.
Okay, that's
I
one.
Want, I
three
want
objects left.
D100 liters of any fuel.
Okay.
In the jerry cans. That's what I
want. Yep, your car is running on empty. We know this already. Mm-hmm. So D100 liters of any fuel, and I'll say that this is straight up gasoline that you can use in your car. I'm not sure. I'll look up how much that actually means.
95.
Are you serious?
There we go. Oh, man.
95, baby.
I mean, you found the mother load here.
Incredible.
That is amazing. Wow.
I got to say, back in the day, in the first edition of the game, one of the sort of mother loads, because the assumption was that you were making your own ethanol or methanol
Yes.
In your converted Humvee. And so that was the thing. It's like to get a methanol still on the back of your military vehicle and just be making fuel as you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I would like to make a pitch for an item.
Yes.
I would love a sniper rifle.
Ooh, is that in
there?
Well,
I said there was a gun in there, and I was taking a gamble that one of you would select a weapon of some kind.
Yeah. So, sniper or hunting rifle with D3 reloads. Hell yeah. Right.
Really nice.
Okay, yeah. So there was a sniper rifle leaning up against the wall. Yeah. Yeah. All right, but perfect. But here's the thing, Skid. This is going to be a Soviet sniper rifle.
Oh, it's crap.
So, yeah, we're going to have to figure that out.
Okay.
I'll figure that out in a second while you guys talk about your last object. Ross, you haven't weighed in on anything yet. Is there anything jumping out to you?
That's right. Of course, I think in Dade's point of view, I mean, not on this list, but given what we experienced last night, I would love just like a flashlight. But
yeah, probably good.
Just on what's on this list. I mean, I'm always looking at the med kits. I've currently got 5. I rolled well for that. But and also water, especially considering that like my brief interaction with that poor man down in the basement who's been poisoned by exposure to radiation, having access to clean water is very, very important.
I have 5 water rations. I rolled really high when I rolled for water rations.
Okay.
I know that doesn't cover everybody, but like...
Share and share alike.
I have less. I think I rolled 2.
I have 2.
Mm. Okay.
No, I had 3, actually. I mean, we all kind of got to pick something. I think that, you know, Dade should... My vote is Dade does water or med kits or whatever Dade wants to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think...
Yeah, so the med parts idea that I have...
Are we saying that those are med parts?
Nope. The med parts idea that I have is a separate thing.
Right.
The med kits give you bonuses to rolls. For me, the med parts idea is like you need these in order to even do the action to, you know, really help somebody. Okay. I might be hampering you a little bit, but we'll see. We'll feel it out, you know, it's mechanically fine as we play. But to me, I kind of feel like dwindling medical supplies is an important thing.
Definitely.
A med kit is going to give you a +1 modifier to medical aid rolls. It can only be used once. So it gives you a bonus to the roll.
Great. I've got a good quantity or a reasonable quantity of med kits. I think I might go, as pedestrian as it sounds, with the water.
Okay. That's great. Dude, that's great. Yeah, you do not want to suffer. You don't want to suffer dehydration. It's
the number one
condition
thing that you need to survive, right?
Yeah.
Don't you need water before you need food?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, great. 6.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Yeah. There you go.
So that made up for it. I'm going to read this rule. You must drink a ration of water at least once per day. After a day without water, you become dehydrated. Being dehydrated has several effects. You cannot heal damage in any way. You can recover stress normally. You take 1 point of damage every day. If you are incapacitated by damage from being dehydrated, you die after 1 more day without water.
Jesus.
This is why I think looking over that stuff and how important water is to healing, I was like, yes, let's... JF Dade is all about the fundamentals.
Yeah.
Dude, I love it. All right, so you guys ended up with a ton of fuel. Mm-hmm. We're going to look this up, Mary Lou, as needed. I want to look up... I don't want to be hampered by it in the moment, but mm-hmm. I do want to look up exactly how much fuel your car takes and how much it uses. And I think that's all in the book. So
I've already got it all written down.
Oh, you do? You about with your truck?
Yeah, I put it in the notes because I didn't know where to put pickup truck in gear.
In my
notes, it's formatted weird because I don't know how to format it. But yeah, in my character sheet, if you go into notes.
Oh, I see that. Okay. So your fuel capacity, is 100 liters. Exactly. Yeah. So this is basically like you get one full tank.
Fill up the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's maybe we can assume, awesome. Yeah, that I had 95, or I had five left in five the tank, left, which is yeah. why we were so sparing, you know, in that first episode, going into neutral downhills and waiting for it to almost reach zero before gassing it back up to 30, right. and then coasting, and then back up to 30. That sort of like slinky moving across the yeah. land to use as little gas
so
as possible.
Cool. I
great.
Just
so let's assume I got a full tank, 100.
All right, we're gonna assume you got a full tank. Okay, terrific. And you went with fuel, a sniper rifle, food rations, and water rations. This right. makes a lot of sense. And those are all, it all makes sense to me that those are all in there. But guess what? There's other junk in there as well. And I rolled pre-session on the random table for just other random things that are in there. And I'm really honestly happy with what I rolled because it seems so perfectly random. The first thing that I did is I rolled a D6 and I actually rolled a 5. For you guys, random items.
Okay.
Then I rolled on the D100 table. So here are other things that you find in this place. A deck of playing cards.
Awesome.
So if somebody wants to write that down on your sheet.
I'm writing it
down. It's a zero right. weight. You've got a deck of playing cards.
Oh, by the way, playing cards were a big mechanic in the original version of the game, too. They were used to determine the attitude of NPCs.
Yeah, it's in this game, too.
Is it in this game, too? Okay, yeah, that's really cool. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's freaking fascinating. So what I'll do is I have the encounter deck. The encounter deck is 52 encounters. It also has a suit and a card number on it.
That's so cool. Yeah, like a king of clubs is like a violence person who like.
Are you serious, like, yeah. dude? Yeah. I literally, the top card was the king of clubs.
Oh, get out of here.
Whoa. That's insane.
Oh, holy shit. Wait, do it again, shit. Skid.
Yeah.
I can't.
Pick another card out of nowhere, Skid.
I can't. I don't know anymore. It's the only card I know.
So they do their disposition. They also do, there's another table where you draw two cards and it's by suit and by card. It's motivations. And how strongly they're motivated of that type. So like hearts is like empathy and they're motivated by kindness.
Right.
Diamonds is wealth. Spades mm-hmm. is power. And mm-hmm. clubs is violence.
Violence, right.
Wow.
Just really cool.
It's like, so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just goes to show you that the game, and you're going to hopefully see more and more of this, is meant to be randomly generated as we
yes.
play. It's not yeah. meant
it's so
to be
cool.
a story arc we're working off of here. All right, so a deck of playing cards, a D6 uses, which I'll let you guys roll, of instant coffee.
Oh,
nice.
Instant coffee, nice. D6 Huge. Uses. So who wants to roll that?
I'll roll.
Yeah,
okay.
Roll for coffee.
Roll it.
One.
Oh, no. One use of instant coffee. Somebody jot that down. See if you ever want to actually
it's on our
use that. This one, I don't think I couldn't be more excited about any of them than this one. This was the third one I rolled. Movie DVDs. Six
oh.
movie DVDs. And so what
pre-2000,
I...
Pre-2000.
Pre-2000.
Yeah. So yeah, what I right. did was I found a list... of 357 90s movies.
Oh my God.
And I rolled randomly with a D100 and a D4 to kind of like figure out. I did the one was 100, so the two was 200, so the three was 300, and the four was 0 to 100 to randomly roll movies. And I've got the six movies I randomly
okay.
rolled.
Oh
are you ready?
Lay it on us.
Yes,
yep,
yes please.
These are in English movie DVDs that you find in this thing. Donnie Brasco.
And all of these are Polish versions.
I think they might be English versions that are subtitled in Polish.
Sure. Region specific to Europe, I would guess.
Yeah, yeah.
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 Yeah. So Donnie Brasco.
Uh huh.
Mall Rats. Open Your Eyes.
The original version of Vanilla Sky.
The original version of Vanilla Sky.
Abre los ojos. Bringing Out the Dead.
Whoa.
Nice. Oh, I love that movie. I love that movie.
That was a Nicolas Cage.
Martin Scorsese.
Lesser known, more underrated.
He's a paramedic in that movie.
Great movie.
And then two that I know you guys know. 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yes.
Shit, it's so amazing.
Oh my god.
Wow.
And lastly, Legends of the Fall.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Loves Legends of the Fall.
Brad Pitt at his absolute studliest. What a fascinating way to create a film festival.
I love that method. That's awesome. God, that's cool.
How much weight is a DVD copy of Legends of the Fall?
Yeah, do we have access to a DVD player?
We do not. You currently do not have access to a DVD player, and I will tell you, it's in the book. These are valued as one bullet each.
You can trade them for a bullet. When we meet someone with a DVD player, ooh, do we have bargaining power?
Yep. Write this down. Let's not forget. One of our primary side quests needs to be find a DVD player.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. There were, what else? Oh, two more things. One is a bicycle pump. There was a bicycle pump.
Okay.
So you can jot that down. And that is actually there's a mechanic where that can be disassembled using a tech roll and turned into one general part. Just FYI, that's part of the open world survival mechanics. And lastly, this one actually has some meaning, I think, to our group. I haven't been playing music for a little bit. We've just been kind of off the narrative. Now I want to bring it back to the narrative. As leaning up against the... I want to change this music. I'm sorry. As leaning up against one of the back wall, against the back wall, is a black case. And it is evident immediately to Hannah that it is a violin case.
Oh, there we go.
Yes.
She is surprised. Her eyes go wide. She walks up and she opens it and looks at the instrument inside.
It is a well-made, good quality violin. The bow is in the case. It seems to be in good shape. It was just thrown in the back with all this other junk stuff that, you know, came from somewhere. But it is a working violin, and I actually rolled it. I made it a violin for you. I rolled, and it was a saxophone, is one of the things on this list.
Oh.
And I rolled saxophone, and I was like, oh, wait a minute. I'm changing that. I'm going to make that a violin. So that's isn't great. That crazy?
That's yay! Really cool. That's funny.
Hannah has this flashback to herself on the stage of a conservatory. Huh. And she's in like a frilly dress.
And her hair's long.
Yeah, it's like the early 80s, you know?
Big bangs.
Yeah, big bangs. And she is on stage with, you know, a trio, right? And the audience is filled with parents who are all, you know, very well dressed. This is, you know, she's at some kind of private academy, and she is playing the violin beautifully.
Oh, that's an incredible image.
And then we cut back to her and her ball cap, face smeared with dirt, rifle in her hand, and she will pick up the violin and add it to her gear.
Amazing.
From behind her, you a fiddler?
I'm sorry, I do not know this word, fiddler.
And he mimes playing.
Oh, the violin.
Right.
Yes, I play.
Oh. Well, all right. Maybe we get somewhere safe. Maybe you can give us a taste.
I will give you a taste.
And JF goes back to sorting his little, his bottles of water.
And I think that's a good spot to take a break. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back right after that. Thanks, guys. Hold on one second. We'll be right back.
Ever get to the end of a podcast episode and think, now what? Well, instead of scrolling through a million choices, try Something You Should Know. I'm the host, Mike Carruthers, and every episode is packed with fascinating, useful, and surprising things you'll actually use in your life. From human behavior, relationships, health, science, and everyday mysteries. So while you're already in your podcast app, just search for Something You Should Know and listen to an episode right now. Something You Should Know.
Hey, I'm Ashley, host of Crime Salad, and every week my husband Ricky joins me as my partner in crime. We know the true crime space is crowded, so we skip the loud, bubbly small talk and get straight to the facts of the most gripping cases. If you want to see what we're all about, check out our recent two-parter deep dive, She Saved Him, Can You Save Her?, covering the baffling Rebecca Zahau case. If you want a true crime podcast that feels authentic and respects the details, come check us out. Search Crime Salad wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, there are a lot of celebrity interview podcasts out there, but there's only one Happy, Sad, Confused. I'm Josh Horowitz, and yeah, I'm the host of the show, so I'm a little biased, but truly, Happy, Sad, Confused is the place for nerdy and intimate conversations with all your favorite actors and filmmakers. From Andrew Garfield and Scarlett Johansson to Christopher Nolan, casting what ifs, backstage stories, and much more. Listen to Happy, Sad, Confused on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. We left you guys sorting through all of the amazing junk slash awesome stuff and useful stuff here in this security closet in this office above the supermarket. At this point, I'd love for a moment, if it's okay with you guys, to take it out of character and just talk for a second about what we want to do next in the story, because it's late in the evening. You're in kind of a strange place. You just met, but we can play it out in a second in character, but just talk out, like, are you going to rest? Where are you going to rest? How do you guys imagine it happening? And that way we can play it out more efficiently in the game.
I'd say we rest here with the Polish citizens that we found.
Yeah.
We do any kind of upkeep we need to do in terms of eating or drinking water, etc. And then I have two thoughts. One is I'm 100% behind Major Lime in going to, forgive me, Bilgore.
Bilgore.
Thank you. Not for the same reason. You know, I know that Major Lime wants to find his contact. I want to free Polish prisoners.
Yeah.
My other thought, and Hannah would share all this while we're camped out in this supermarket, would be, you know, we go check out Zemoshk first, because the people here said that supplies were supposed to come from there and they never came. So we could, yeah. And they're both, you know, if you can see on the map, I looked, they're both kind of north of us. And Zemoshk is actually on the way to Bilgore.
If we take the road, yeah, Zemoshk is on the way to Bilgore. If we find a boat, we could take a river through some different hexes. But probably driving would probably be best. And Zemoshk is on the way.
Can I ask you guys to make a decision out of character about what the story is going to be next, and then we'll role play it out? Are you going to drive
for the night,
or are you going to try to find a boat?
Oh yeah.
Oh. I was just kind of joking about the boat. I think we drive.
It's not time for the boat yet.
Yeah, I think it's not time for the boat. We'd have to abandon the pickup truck, which is like we just filled up the tank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think Zemoshk.
This one they just Yeah.
Zamosh.
Yeah, no boat. Just take the truck north.
Yeah.
Okay. If you guys are cool with that plan, and then if nobody wants to do any role playing tonight specifically, then I kind of like the idea of cutting from the vision of the violin concert, the concerto, and then the conversation with Dade to morning.
Great.
Is that cool with everybody?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, because we've rested, and this amount of time has passed, do I clear that stress that I took on walking through the?
Yes.
Okay. I believe that's
the stress. I had some stress floating around too. I can clear that.
Yep. You clear the stress. I actually have a note to myself. There's one thing I missed. I'm sorry about that. And this was not randomly rolled. It's like the map. There is one thing I missed that I'm going to, that I'll talk to you about in a second. But I do want to, oh, it's right here. Let's see. It's page 73. I just want to make sure that you do recover all of that stuff. I think that you recover all of it. So I'm just going to double check real quick. Recovery. Oh, that's like the medical aid stuff. Oh man, this is tricky.
I looked up if you automatically heal 1 point of remaining stress for each full shift you spend resting or sleeping. This assumes you're not sleep deprived, hypothermic. You can heal stress and damage at the same time.
So you only heal one per shift of rest, and a shift is like 8 hours, 5 to 10 hours. I think they say technically. So
With my command skill, can't I assist with stress recovery? I think that's one of the things.
I believe with your command skill, you assist with stress recovery in combat.
That's what it is.
When people are incapacitated by stress, you can get them back up and fighting.
And but I also have the PsyOps specialty, so I think that might help with like counseling.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's another thing.
Yeah. Mm. And what does that use? Is it medical aid?
Empathy. What is it?
Yeah, no, it's persuasion? It's definitely not medical
aid. I think it's persuasion.
It's under persuasion. Okay.
When incapacitated by stress, NPC or NPC in the same hex can rally you to regain your senses by making a command roll.
Right.
If successful, you immediately heal the number of stress points equal to the number of successes rolled.
PsyOps just gives you a +1 bonus to persuasion rolls to change someone's mind about something.
Right, okay. I know I read somewhere in the book about some counseling ability that can help people recover stress.
Counselor is a thing under medical aid, but that's a +1 modifier to medical aid rolls for counseling a person suffering from long-term mental trauma. Yeah, there's a lot of interesting different ways to think about this. But for right now, Skid, if it's all right with you, I would just like to keep this as not all your stress is going away. You guys are still in kind of a tough environment. It might go down a little bit, but it's not going to go all away. And who knows what sort of nightmares you would have after a day like you just had. Stress doesn't inflict critical injuries like damage does, but each time you become incapacitated by stress, you risk suffering long-term mental trauma. Roll empathy the next time you rest or sleep for a shift. Roll the attribute only. If the roll fails, you develop a long-term or even permanent mental trauma of some kind, and there's a table for it. And I feel like that is what you use counselor for, is if you've got one of these.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you get things like anxious or sullen, and they give you permanent penalties to some of your skills. Ooh. Anxious is a permanent -1 to all recon and survival skills, for example. And it goes on like that. So interesting. We'll have to keep that in mind. That's a tough one to remember. So everybody hear that once. If you ever get incapacitated by stress in a fight, remember, we need to roll empathy to see if you get any long-term mental trauma. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Amazing.
Okay. Here's the other thing that I didn't mention before we pick up the next day. The other thing I didn't mention, and this was very important. I skipped over it in my notes. There was the tactical map. You guys need to talk about this.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And we could talk about it in the morning. But there's also a Soviet radio.
Oh,
what?
Oh, shit. What?
There is a Soviet R-392A radio. It is a battery-operated radio that has a hand crank that can generate power for short amounts of time. So an interesting field radio was in that closet as well. So just letting you know, that's what you guys have.
Just so you know, in Dade's gear, he has a short range radio as well.
Oh, great.
For NATO forces. But I think it'd be said that he's probably not been able to get anybody through in the time that he's been helping Lime to recover. But now we've got two radios.
Yeah.
That's great. So who wants to hold the radio?
I think that's definitely Zofia as the techie.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say the radio is not working right now. It doesn't appear to be working. So you may need to examine that at some point. Obviously, you guys have a lot going on. So let's pick up in the morning. And I think we need to have a scene where we see Lime talking to perhaps Zofia about the use of her car. Let's see how that goes. So are you guys cool picking up there?
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right. Take it away, Skid.
All right. So, yeah, Major Lime is negotiating. Well, first, like, we haven't really introduced ourselves to each other.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That is true as well.
Forgive me. We've not been properly introduced. Royal Marine, Royal Marine Major Duncan Lime. Pleasure to make your acquaintance. Reach out a hand to shake yours.
You notice her look down at your hand first and back up to you. And she'll take your hand. And she's got a strong handshake, firm, like very firm for a woman. Not like squeezing, but like, yeah, not one of those, but like strong. And her hands are calloused and rough. Zofia Brzezicka. Brzezicka.
Brzezicka. Brzezicka. I have that right.
Very close. Yes.
Right. Sorry, my Slavic language skills are not quite up to snuff, I'm afraid.
That is fine. It is a hard language.
Miss Brzezicka.
You can call me Zofia. That is fine.
She says with disdain.
This is funny, too. Like, I asked Andy, like, how would I refer to these people? And this is like, well, it depends on how well you know them. And I think I would refer to you by your last name.
Absolutely. And that's a military thing, too, is everybody's referred to as their last name instead of their first name, right? But right. I think
right.
Zofia maybe doesn't love to hear her name not said perfectly, right? Polish pride. And so she'll say, Zofia is fine.
Yes, well, I feel that our paths may have converged, at least for the time being. You and your partner can certainly handle yourselves in a firefight.
Thank you.
Hannah is standing behind Zofia, you know, holding her rifle, just kind of looking kind of dour and intimidating.
You two are planning to head to Byugorai. Is that right?
Tak, I think we are wanting to rescue the people there. They are making people, Polish people, work. The Soviets. This is not something we want.
No. It's not something any right-thinking person would want. There is an associate of mine, I believe, that is being held there as well. I wish to rescue him, and of course, anything to hurt the Soviet cause benefits both of us and your country.
Okay. We go together. Yes?
Excellent. That's settled. Private, calls Dade over.
He's looking at the pictures on the interior of the 10 Things I Hate About You case. He's like, what's it?
Yes, sir? I love that movie. She like sort of brightens up when she sees you holding it. Heath Ledger.
Right? Yeah, he's really funny.
Heath Ledger.
Julia Stiles.
I love him. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I love that movie. I have a truck. You saw it, right, in the forest when we first see each other. I have a truck. We can take that. Do you have a car?
We're on foot.
No car. Okay. My truck seats 5. There is six with me.
All right. Well, I mean, if there's room in the bed, I'm fine with that too.
No, there are chair in the truck. The bed is for cargo parts.
All right.
You are very good at English.
Very good. Better than my Polish.
I have been trying to learn.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'll use one of the chairs in the cabin then.
Tuck.
Hey! Look at that! I got promoted from cargo.
She's gonna chuckle. Like,
smiles a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. I watch TV and movie in English, so I understand a little better than I speak.
sounds good to me. I ain't seen many Polish shows. I feel like we don't get many Polish movies.
The most Polish movies are just American movies.
Well, and he'll pack up the DVDs and kind of slip them into his backpack.
Precious cargo.
Yeah, a little taste of home.
Mm-hmm. God, imagine like how much you would treasure something like that in these circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and are you guys heading out?
Yeah, I think walking towards the truck, he's like showing the Mallrats DVD, like, oh, this is so funny. Did Clerks make it over here? Is there walking?
Clerks, I do not know.
Clerks, I don't know.
Yeah, well.
Let me say one more thing. As you're walking out of town, or out of the outskirts of the town where you had parked your car behind some trees where you had hid your car. As day dawns on the town and you guys are having these conversations, and maybe we even see as you're kind of like walking out, we pull back a little bit and you start to see different groups of civilians sort of like coming out of their houses. And oh my God, we forgot something entirely.
I was just thinking.
Do we want to check the body of that woman? She's still there.
The other woman. You never checked the body of the other woman, which your characters obviously would have.
I think Dade's kind of been avoiding it, honestly.
Oh, that is interesting. I mean, did you want to, as a character, just not mention it to the Polish women?
Might even be subtly trying to put himself between them and where that body is on the walk back to the truck.
Oh. So we're going to keep it secret for now. Not examine the body.
Are we going right by that spot?
No, we wouldn't need to. Okay. Now, if you're going to say, I'm going to canvas the area and look all around, like, absolutely you could find it. Depends on what you think Hannah does.
Actually, I think if it's morning, maybe not avoid. I'm actually trying to think about Dade's psychology here. As much as he doesn't want to think about it, there is still a morbid curiosity and a pang of guilt. And maybe early before this conversation, maybe, or just after, as there people are kind of making ready to go, he might try to slip out alone to look at it.
Maybe what sparks your memory is that Zofia is telling the civilians, the Soviet bodies upstairs, take them, bury them somewhere else. They will start to fester and cause sickness. Bring them away. And maybe you remember there's another body.
Yeah.
So he's going to go out by himself.
I'm going to walk over there, yeah.
It's a gruesome sight. It's a headshot with an exit wound that's pretty gruesome, and the blood is thick and drying on the ground. The body is still there, unmoving, and already, you know, I say rigor mortis and all that kind of stuff is set in. Who knows? I'm guessing. But I think that that's what you would see and what you would notice. Is there's a stiffness to the body as you start searching it.
Okay.
You find a... you find an identification and a name. You see this woman's picture, this blonde woman pictured. Her name is listed as Camilla Brosch, B-R-O-S-Z. And Dade, I don't know how you react to this, but you see that there is a there is a symbol around the outside, a gold inlay, and it's written in Polish. You're not sure what it says, but it sure as shit looks like whatever design or iconography is behind that gold lettering. It looks like a government building of some kind. Like it might like a rotunda or something, right? Like a something that looks like a town hall kind of building. And then some gold inlaid writing that you may not understand.
Okay.
You see there's still a pistol on the ground.
Right.
And you... This is one detail that you pick up in examining her. As you are moving her arm to try to maybe get to another pocket or something, her sleeve pulls up, and up the inside of her right forearm, above her wrist, on the underside, you see a tattoo. And it looks like a sewing needle. Just a sewing needle. Very simple, straight, sort of thin line. That's the only other detail that jumps out. Otherwise, there's nothing else on her of value.
Okay. Dade is kind of wondering why he's torturing himself like this at this moment, like looking at the ID.
And she's got her missing fingers still. Her fingers are blown off.
The hand's all mangled and blown off. The pistol is on the ground. I mean, he figures the body will be found by them, but he'll take the pistol, I guess, bring it back, and give it to the Poles, hold up there. Maybe along with her ID, and just give him a little shake of the head, like, I'm sorry.
The civilians, they look at the ID, talk amongst each other in Polish. You don't understand what they're saying.
Does it look like they knew this person? Not a lot of emotion going around.
No, none. You get kind
of questioning.
Is
Hannah around?
Yeah, if that's the case, then I might try to draw Hannah's attention to it even.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
What is this?
One of the Poles in the firefight last night. Show you the ID.
You look at this ID, Hannah, and it is a government ID. It's like a government-issued national ID for like a government employee.
Not law enforcement.
Not law enforcement.
Okay. Where did you get this? There's a body?
Just around by that outbuilding there.
Can I tell that he seems guilty or distraught or...
Yeah, I'll just say yeah, you can tell.
I'm fine with you deciding, Ross, yeah.
Yeah, you can tell.
Is something wrong? What happened?
Look, Hannah, it's like this. They, you all ran in there, and we took up positions. It was so dark, she'd come around the corner. She was gonna...
You shot her.
She was gonna shoot Lyme.
You shot Polish.
Yes, I did.
She pushes him and says, "Don't do that again." We kill Soviets.
You understand,
right?
Right. You understand if I hadn't taken the shot, the line would be dead right now.
Yeah. He's English. Does their country look like this? Huh?
And I gotta be honest with you, at this point, I don't know what it looks like. I don't think any of us do.
You're in Poland now. Polish people are off limits.
Understood.
You don't fire at them.
All right.
She drops the ID on the floor and walks away.
Man. I don't even remember breathing during the last three minutes. I'm like staying completely still.
Man. And it's so tough.
Yeah.
That's a tough situation. Just to resolve, like, in our role-playing storytelling, it's like, that's tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we have to address it at some point. There's going to be complicated situations like this that have to get addressed.
I think Hannah understands friendly fire and things like that happen.
Sure.
But also, don't do that again.
Right, of course. And I think I see some of that bluster, and I'm like, all right, I'll be. Like, what, you want me to be more guilty? I can tell that Hannah's somebody who's had to make tough calls, and that you can't always know everything when the blood is up and things are popping off. So. But I think JF feels extremely guilty, but also knows that, like, he didn't have another choice.
No, he didn't.
And he knows that, like, what he fears now is that he's going to be in the same position again. And this little conversation is going to create one moment of hesitation that might cost someone's life.
Hmm. Yeah,
Hannah
and Sophia wouldn't let that slide, you know, wouldn't know it without saying something because
you can't ignore it, but
you have no other choice, but they also have no other choice according to their morals and their code. Mm-hmm. It's Polish people. Above everything, right.
But it's funny too because there's also Poles who are siding with the Soviets,
right?
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
I think Hannah would have a problem even firing at those people if she was completely aware that they are, you know, Polish citizens, Polish collaborators. She would even have a problem with that. It would be tough.
I don't know. I think if I saw, like, for Lime's kid, like, if he saw, like, if there were English people who were siding with the Soviets, I think he'd hate them even more than the Soviets.
I think that's how Sophia feels, but she would feel, but she hasn't even maybe thought about that yet. Collaborators. I think to her that's, like,
You look at, like, how, like, I just got done watching A French Village, the show about the occupation of a French village during World War II, and it's like the way they treated collaborators after the war. It's like you could see how much hatred there was, betrayal.
And this type of, like, thought seems maybe above JF's pay grade, but I think it is there where he understands pride of homeland, like the deep communal sense of pride and protection. But Poland to him still is kind of this abstract concept because he's not from there. And so, and especially in its bombed out state, he's like, what does it mean to be Like, these nations are like, the structure has been broken. I can't fight for ideas. I can only fight to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you ever mention, and this is not meant to prod you in any direction, I just want to make sure you don't, we don't pass over this before I move on. Do you mention to anybody the tattoo?
Oh, interesting. I guess the curiosity is there. I mean, without knowing, I might mention it to Lime. It's like, you know anything about, as we're walking, maybe towards the truck, just bending your ear for a second, you know anything about these sort of like published partisans? She had a tattoo of a sewing needle on the inside of her wrist. Does that mean anything to you?
Does it?
No.
No.
Maybe something to think about.
I'll hold on to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jot that down. And it's interesting that you talk here, Ross, I just love it that you talk about how Poland is a concept to you, how you're fighting for survival. It's so hard to understand exactly what the ideals are. Mm-hmm. The irony being that as you're walking out of town and back to the truck, you walk past this beautiful monument that is somehow left undisturbed by the battles thus far that have taken place here, and it is a monument that is not a person. It's sort of like this artistic rendering, and maybe you guys just walk past it toward the car, and we see this plaque in Polish, and then it can be translated for us that this is a monument to the Constitution of May 3rd, 1791. And it is actually in this town in real life. And this monument is to the Constitution written by the Polish people in 1791 and represents the first in the history of the world, besides America, that established a separation of powers through three distinct areas and gave power to the common people as well as the aristocracy in voting and all that stuff. I had no idea until I was researching the town that it was Poland that was the second to ever do this.
Wow.
I'm feeling so...
And the first in Europe.
I'm feeling so proud of my country, and I'm not Polish.
Yeah,
totally. But like, I heard that, and I was like, "Yeah, we did it."
Yes.
I love this idea that JF Dade, our sort of like American country mouse, will become slowly more enamored and with Poland.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
But also, I think this would be something that Lime would be, with his history background, this would be something that he would be well aware of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you rolled it previously last episode, I was thinking about talking about that. But yeah, I mean, you had failed the roll. Yeah. But yeah, it's fine for you to know it. Absolutely. It's freaking awesome.
I think maybe when we're walking past it, Zofia explains what it is. This is a monument to our Constitution, 1791. And maybe Lime, you add those details. It's the second in the world, and you know, split the powers between, and yeah, you see Zofia and I don't know, maybe Hannah too, looking very pretty chuffed, pretty proud. Yeah, you can. I'll let you brag about our country for us.
Yeah, I think, and there's a note of real admiration for Poland as Lime is explaining this too. This is second in the world after the United States. True pioneers, the human rights, all that.
Yeah. And just see JF kind of looking at the statue and just like a little, huh?
Yes.
So he just absorbs that.
As a people are very strong. We are a strong people.
Yeah.
Hannah gets in the truck.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. So I see. And and JF gingerly will get in the truck,
behind in the back.
Oh, yeah. Boys in the back. Yeah. Hannah's rocking the front seat. And I'm driving.
Okay. So I just, those in video know that I just stepped away for a second because I just got an awesome delivery that I had to pick up. I mentioned this to you guys multiple episodes ago that I had gotten something for this game. I was very excited about it. It was going to take a while to get here. And it has finally arrived. So I'm going to share that with you in a second. But there's one thing I want to do before we leave. If we go to your map, mm-hmm. let's review. You found a tactical map of Poland, and it gave you some information on some placements of Soviet troops. You see that on the map now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool.
I have the map. I have the hard copy of the map here.
Cool.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Yeah. So I just wanted to make it clear that your characters have this now, too.
Yeah.
And you can sort of see where the roads are, where the forests are, where the hills are, where the rivers are. You can kind of like plan around that a little bit. I also want to do this. If you look southwest of Tomasz Lubelski, you now have information that shows you that you potentially have a radioactive nuclear site southwest of you.
Right.
Near Yaroslav.
Yaroslav.
And unfortunately, that might be the first of several that you hear of as you move through here, but maybe places to avoid, places that could be high radiation areas, and maybe you'll just stumble into some. We'll have to find out. You guys drive off down the road, and I have got right here my encounter deck, which I just showed.
Oh, amazing. Boy.
Yes.
You're going to move into the next hex.
That would be this one here, right?
Across the river, yep, to the northeast. You're going to move into that hex, and I am going to draw a card. Now, if it has a road on it, you actually experience a road encounter. If it doesn't have a road, there is no encounter. There is a road. There is a road symbol. And, oh, dear. And we are going to have this happen. We'll do that next episode. We're going to start that next episode.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness. There will be an encounter on the road next episode, but I'm going to leave you with opening what I got.
What'd
that
you
I'm
get?
So excited about for all of my game running needs. This is Lonely Planet Poland from 1996.
Amazing. 1996!
From 1996, write-ups on every town. Yep, exactly.
That's so awesome.
Pictures of the monuments and things that are in the towns.
That's fucking awesome.
So cool.
Populations, and I read a thing online for recommendations on running Twilight 2000 for GMs, and one guy who said, the greatest thing I ever did was got a visitor's guide to Poland that I used as a referee all the time. I referred to whenever they were near a town. I just look up the town, and it gave you so much information about what's there and monuments and history and everything.
So
look at that.
Cool. Oh, I can't wait.
Great. I'm buying one too.
Yeah. I found it on eBay, and it literally came during the recording of this episode. I got an email. It's still freezing cold from outside.
Oh, boy.
So, I'm excited to pick it up there next week. Thank you, guys. We'll see you soon with a random encounter in our next hex as the characters
so stressed out.
Out of Tomaszów Lubelski. We'll see you next
terrified.
Week.
Legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound,
and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred. Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
Do you ever watch a TV show set in a historical time period and think, how accurate is this really? But also, does it matter if it's accurate or not?
Nefer TV is a new podcast about shows set in ancient times. This season, we're recapping every episode of the show Spartacus: Blood and Sand.
I'm Anne Foster, and I have never seen this show before.
And I'm Gina Barry, and I have watched this show maybe too many times.
Join us every other Monday on the Nefer TV podcast as we discuss the real history behind Spartacus, Blood, and Sand.
Follow Nefer TV, that's NEFER TV, wherever you get your podcasts.